Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome once again to the Patient Players Podcast. This is episode 18. This is December 14th, and I am your host, Daniel, joined by my co-host, Jordy. What's up, Jordan?
It's me.
Oh.
Wait, I've done this already, haven't I?
Probably? Shoot.
I need to be more original.
You're fired. Off the podcast. Yes.
Okay, welcome to episode 14. It's December 18th.
How's episode 14? What?
Yeah, I swapped the date.
Okay, there you go. Original on the spot. That's what we pay you for. The big bucks. Yep. Welcome to the podcast. If you haven't listened before, this is a podcast where we talk about gaming, though typically, rather than jumping on the newest, hottest trends, the hot full-price games that come out, we're your patient players. We're typically looking for good deals on games that might have missed us, on sales or freebies. There's plenty of things out there that you can find to play without breaking an arm and leg in cash. That was two phrases that should not be mixed together.
We can't guarantee you won't break a pinky, though. Maybe even a pinky nail.
A pinky mashing that subscribe button.
Ooh, mashing that subscribe button and also that purchase button for the cheap games that we're about to tell you about.
Yeah, or just that we're playing. Because honestly, talking about new games is like, I don't know, 20%. And then overrated? Mostly we're like, this is just what we're playing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of games. See,
I actually have a lot of new games to talk about today, so I feel a little bad.
I kind of do, too. This is going to be a long episode.
Hi, welcome to Impatient Players.
Welcome to We Just Do Whatever the Heck We Want Players.
Welcome to This Is Our Turf. You don't make the rules, we do. So sit back, grab some popcorn, grab a Coke or a Diet Coke if you're diabetic or trying to lose weight.
I want a Diet Pepsi now. Enjoy.
Do you like Diet Pepsi more than Diet Coke?
I said Diet Pepsi. I meant Diet Dr. Pepper. That's the only thing that we have in our fridge.
Diet Dr. Pepper is dentist in a can.
Dentist in a can?
Any kind of Dr. Pepper, really.
Oh, you're just trying to make an enemy of the Texans. I see how it is.
Are Texans Dr. Pepper people?
Texans love Dr. Pepper.
Dr. People, if you will?
That's why Whataburger had like a Dr. Pepper shake.
Interesting. I did not know this. I don't think I have very many friends who like Dr. Pepper.
Oh.
The one I can think of stopped drinking it because it's, you know, it's Coke, so it's awful for you. But
you mean just soda?
Yeah. So I'm going to ask more friends now if they like Dr. Pepper.
It's just if you like Dr. Pepper, email us. Never mind. We'll get there later. It'll come back.
I was going to say, I was like, is the email being dropped this early in the episode? I think this is a
new
record.
All in due time. Okay. All in due time. Man, have we talked all week? I feel like we haven't.
A little bit.
That's so unusual for us. I feel like maybe texting, but I feel like I haven't spoken with you in voice. I was going to say in person, but this isn't really in person.
In person.
I haven't spoken to you all week, which is like, I don't know. I probably could count the number of weeks that's happened on one hand in like the last 7 years.
That's a lot of years.
It's a bold statement.
That's a very bold statement.
We talk a lot. That's what I'm trying to say.
We do. It's true. Yeah. What have you been up to every night?
Oh, man. A lot. I'm trying to even remember. Middle of the week, I got my typical like church events that I go to. Last night, I was Christmas caroling.
What?
And yeah.
Okay.
What's wrong with Christmas caroling?
Nothing.
Oh, you go and you Christmas carol. You sing Christmas songs at people's houses. It's great.
Did people enjoy it?
Sometimes, sometimes they come out and they listen and they're like, yay. Sometimes they're not home or they just like come to the door and leave, which is awkward because it's like, we know you're in there, but you're not coming out and we're just going to keep singing about Jesus. All right.
You know, it's funny. I was at a Christmas party last night sporting my Christmas kitten suit and we were talking about caroling and someone's like, you know, it would be great if you just went around caroling, but instead of Christmas songs, you're just singing like the Beach Boys, you know, like
just performing.
Yeah, like how great would that be? You show up at someone's door, like you don't even need Christmas for that time. Just show up at someone's door with a whole set of people and just start singing, I don't know, Katy Perry's Fireworks.
There's a song. There's a tradition to Christmas caroling. It's understood what's going on. If I just went up to someone's door and started singing, they would not understand it. They barely understand Christmas caroling. There were some folks that were like some elderly folks that did not appear to speak English that came out, and they were just like, yay, this is awkward.
Did you get any figgy pudding?
No, we did not get any figgy pudding.
Then you failed.
One of the carolers, there was a lot of carolers that brought their young kids, and one of the carolers was a mom, and her little boy like had to go to the bathroom, and for some reason she thought it was a great idea to like go two or three houses ahead and like knock on their door and ask if she could use the bathroom. Whoa. Thankfully they weren't there, and we were like, that's not cool, don't do that.
Wait,
don't
just, ahead, like... not like backwards?
Yeah, like she went
so
to
eventually
the next...
You guys would have just met up with them again, and she'd be like, hi again, I used your bathroom earlier.
I guess that was what her logic was, but everyone in the group was like, don't do that. Go back to where, like, go back to the church we started at if you need to go to the bathroom. Don't just go to a random person's house.
Yeah. The first time weird. I went trick-or-treating with my younger sister, this was like 12 years ago, the people open the door, and she just walks right in and starts petting their dog like, oh, this is great, I love this. And we're all like, oh shoot, no, sorry, get out. Like, we forgot to tell her not to actually walk in for
the transaction stops at the door.
Exactly. And she was like, oh, what nice dogs you have, oh, so cute. And I was like, oh, no, because it was just me and her. Like, the parents were in the car down by the road.
Right.
We, like, walked up to the house. So I
was
like...
You were trick-or-treaters with, like, a parent stalker. That's how you did things?
Yeah. I think that was the only time I have ever gone trick-or-treating.
Aw. We should find an excuse to go. Find some friendly kids to go with. Like,
I have diabetes.
It's still fun to dress up and walk around.
But that's not trick-or-treating. That's LARPing, isn't it?
That's a fair point. Well, hold on. No, that's just cosplaying. LARPing
is specifically
like role play while you're dressed up.
Okay.
That's a different thing.
That's fair. So yeah, just role. Okay, in which case, yeah, I guess role playing is fun.
Like, picture everything we do with D&D, but instead of a battle map and tokens, it was just us. That's LARPing.
I can see you being into that.
Oh, that I don't. I feel like that was an insult.
No, it wasn't. I could see you actually like having fun with that.
Like, if I cast Fireball, I have to bring, like, little sandbags, and I, like, throw them at people. And, if you get hit.
Dude, that's even more fun. And that's an excuse to throw sandbags at someone.
Oh, yeah. And, like, people who get real into it, they have, like, actual swords or prop swords. And, like, it's not quite like D&D where it's all, like, dice-based. It's, like, you're fighting people. But it's, like, instead of rolling a die to be, like, I swing my longsword, you just, like, hit a guy with a sword. And you're, like, you take this much damage. And now,
see, I was picturing just like a big, like a giant chessboard that you're like standing on, and it's like I moved three spaces and roll my
LARPing.
Dice.
I bet you,
LARPing.
If you,
I would do that.
If you googled turn-based LARPing, I guarantee you someone else has had this idea.
I would hope so, because it's a great one.
So what else did I do? I caroled. I did church stuff. And I played video games, honestly. I'm trying to think. That was basically my week. Right? What did I do Thursday? Did we hang out? No, we didn't hang out Thursday. Mm-mm. All right. How was your week? I'm going to look up what I did on Thursday.
Oh, okay. I've mostly been playing... Guess what? It's Pokemon. Heck yeah.
Woo! And you definitely went online, right? And played some competitive battling?
No, actually. I have been playing Pokemon Ultra Moon.
Okay.
So I 100%ed Sword and Shield, and I said, okay, it's time to go back to the roots.
Uh-huh.
And I had bought Ultra Moon, like, earlier this year, so I already had it. And
okay.
Yeah, so I played that, and I beat it, and it was wonderful. And then I bought Ultra Sun also, and also beat it, and it was wonderful.
It's the same game.
Yeah, I kind of sped through the second time because I knew what I was doing. I knew where everything was, and so I can get the legendaries.
Okay, hold on. I was tracking with you. It was like, oh, yeah, patient player. I already own the game. You're enjoying it. Just play through the game. That's fine. And you're like, and then I went out and bought the exact same game full price.
No, $20.
Oh.
Yeah.
How'd you manage that one?
For Black Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So.
Or, no, wait, not Black Friday. Yeah, Black Friday. So I bought it. I bought it a while ago.
Hold on a second. You're telling me that you completed two Pokemon games in this last week in addition to living life?
Well, maybe not so much of the life part, but the Pokemon games, Definitely.
Hey, so remember how you stopped playing Pokemon for like years and I was like, hey, you should get Pokemon. And you were like, nah, see, I tend to hyper obsess.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And it hurts me and I don't do anything else. And Pokemon is a game that's easy to obsess over, and I'm afraid of becoming obsessed.
I do remember that conversation. Why do you mention that?
Do you feel like you've crossed a threshold?
Yes!
Where you're going back and playing old games and beating the same game twice in a week?
Yes, maybe. A little bit.
Okay.
You know what's funny, though? My replay of Ultra Sun lasted twice as long as Luigi's Mansion 3. So, like, if you want some bang for your buck, instead of spending $60 on Luigi's Mansion, freaking just buy a Pokemon game. You'll spend, like, I don't know, 20 hours minimum, maybe 40, maybe 60. If you keep going, you'll spend, like, 120. Those games are such great values.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a collecty boy.
See, I played Diamond, and I would, like, I think I reset one time with my action replay for various reasons, and I just kind of rush to the end game as fast as I can, because I'll spend 100 hours in the end game of a Pokemon game just building a team and exploring all the areas and finding shinies and like just all the stuff you can do. I find it all so fun.
It's so much fun. And so I did that this week, and I like finally closed my DS earlier this week, and I felt like, ah, that was nice. I'm going to take a break now.
Okay, so you're done with Pokemon for a little bit?
No, I wouldn't say done, but like break is in like I've only been playing it like 30 minutes the past few days, like 30 minutes a day. Just like today I'm going to like, you know, get like two or three from my Pokédex and then I'm done for the day.
I'm glad that we have this podcast that I can act as like a little bit of an intervention for you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's cool it on the Pokemon.
It's been so fun though. I love it, and I'm excited for Pokemon Home to come out.
At least you know yourself well enough to identify that you're doing those things, but guidelines. Boundaries? Boundary lines?
Guidelines? Parlay.
All right, so you've been doing Pokemon. Anything else going on in your life?
Anything else going on? The Overwatch Christmas event is live.
That started?
Yes, it has.
Oh, I'm used to seeing so many, like, skin gifts and exciting announcements that I just assumed I would know when it came out, but I had no clue. I literally had no clue it came out.
Yeah, I think I'm actually not going to buy loot boxes this time. Mostly because I just can't afford them.
So are you
a great motivator?
So you can't afford to buy loot boxes, but it sounded like when you said that, it also sounded like the skins weren't great.
Yeah, I'm also not a very big fan of them.
Okay,
you got a Doomfist skin, you got a Sigma skin, Sigma's first event skin, which I got in the one free box that they give out. So
I swear there's some increased percentage chance on that first box. I've gotten so many legendaries during an event with the first box.
That would make sense. But yeah, I got that and I was like, sweet. Like I can buy the ones that I want with my coins that I've been saving up and yeah, and then I checked the special achievements, and they have added three new special achievements for the new limited time event you can play.
They actually made a new event?
Yes. Well, hold on a second.
Hold on. Can I guess something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is the event they made just a really popular workshop one that they just stole and made an official mode?
I don't think it is.
Okay.
But it's I don't know if it's worse or better. So you know May's snowball fight?
Yeah.
Okay, it's that. It's just that.
That's not a new mode.
But they just changed some things.
That's not a new mode.
However, it is so much fun. I got the three achievements in the first like 10 minutes. And then I got off.
Like I'm done.
But yes, so it's a free for all. Eight players. You can hold up to three snowballs.
Okay.
And you can catch them when they're shot at you.
Does it take like perfect timing?
Yes. Okay. But it is oh so satisfying to catch a ball out of thin air and then shoot it back to them.
Is that one of the achievements?
Yes.
Is to kill someone with a snowball you caught?
It is indeed.
Well, that's fun.
So I highly recommend playing that. And I was bummed that it's free for all because that means we probably wouldn't be able to queue up with each other. to play it.
Gosh, that's so annoying.
Yeah.
I've been playing, not this week, but last week and the week before, I was playing Natural Selection 2, if you remember from earlier podcasts, and I've been playing with Kyle, and there's a habit the community has of doing like an automated team shuffle at the beginning of every round. And so when they do that, it scrambles up the team. And so like, even though me and Kyle are queuing up together and going into the same servers and trying to get on the same team, like half the time we just end up on different teams. And like, sometimes I want to play with Kyle, and that's a bummer. But also, it's been so long since I played a competitive shooter against someone I knew and was on voice chat with that, like, it's been so fun. He'll be like, I know you're on that corner, Daniel. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'll run out and bite him and kill him. I'll be like, ha ha ha.
That's
and
awesome. Like,
I'm a competitive guy, and competitive games are fun, especially when your opponent is like somewhat similar to you, right? Like
in
online,
skill level?
Well, in skill level, but also just like as a person, like, you know, they're not a hyper obsessed teenager.
Oh,
you know, they're
I
not
see.
Like, you know nothing about the people you play online games with against.
Right.
Like on your team, you can hear them in voice chat. You can know a little bit about them, but in Overwatch or in the Blizzard games we play, or even in other games, it's so hard to do things against your friends. I don't know. I've kind of missed that from old games, and I had a lot of fun doing that with Kyle. So the idea of like somehow being able to all get in the same free-for-all snowball team sounds so fun, doesn't it?
Yes. And maybe there's like an arcade mode where you just don't get XP or loot boxes that we could do it in. In which case, it was so much fun that I would seriously want to do that.
Well, yeah. Man, I think if I wanted to play Overwatch anytime soon, the custom games would be way more fun than the main game. I don't know. I like Overwatch a lot. I'd play it with friends, but if it was just me playing by myself, or if I was the one choosing it, I think some of the custom game modes would be more fun than the standard game at this point.
Yeah. And you can play them while you queue up for actual games now, too.
Yeah, but I mean, are queues really that long unless you're queuing for competitive DPS?
Yeah, it's mostly for competitive.
And Marion still likes Overwatch probably more than I do. So as soon as she's busy today, she's actually doing a photography shoot at a wedding. But
oh, nice.
Once we're all finished with the busyness and craziness of this weekend, maybe she'll have some time to sit down and play some Overwatch. I'm sure she'd like to know that there's the new Christmas event.
Yeah. It's good.
That's
stuff.
Fun. Cool. I got to play Pokemon. I did some Pokemon.
You played the Pokemans?
I played the Pokemans right after we recorded last week on Sunday. We recorded Saturday. On Sunday, I was like, I got this full, just free afternoon to do whatever I want. And then Marion found out that one of her favorite people in the world, which is an art streamer that she watches on Twitch, she's part of like the Discord community, and this person kind of knows her by name, right? Like they're friends, even though this person's like a streamer that sells products and makes money and stuff. And the person was stuck in Houston dealing with some like shipment issues or whatever, which is, you know, we're in San Antonio, and so it's like a 4-hour drive. And they were like, hey, let's meet up halfway and have lunch somewhere. So just kind of randomly last minute.
Wait, her and the streamer lady?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's awesome. First time to meet?
Yeah, first time to meet in person, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
So the streamer and her husband and me and Marion just last minute, Sunday morning, we're like, all right, let's just drive 2 hours to some ho-dunk Mexican town Mexican restaurant in a small Texas town directly in between San Antonio and Houston, called Schulenburg. And Marion found a website, I think it's called Two Cities or something like that, and it basically, you give it two zip codes, it tells you a town that's directly between them.
Nice for meeting up.
Yeah. And so we went to this little Mexican restaurant, and we had a lovely little Mexican lunch with this streamer friend, and it was great. It was cool to meet them, but on the other hand, it was 2 hours of driving there and 2 hours of driving back. And Marion was like, well, I know this was kind of your day off and you didn't have anything planned today, so I don't mind driving. So she did both drives, and I just sat in the passenger seat and played Pokemon.
Nice waifu.
Yeah. It was kind of for her either way, because it was her friend that we were meeting. And so
right.
She didn't mind doing the driving, and she was just happy I was there with her. And yeah, I beat two gyms, so I have now beaten the third gym.
Nice.
I was texting you about my new little Apple friend, and
oh, yeah, that's right. We texted about it. So I did know you were playing.
Yeah, because in the last game, I don't remember if we talked about this on the podcast or off the podcast, but I mentioned that like I had this whole team of guys, and one of the guys would just not evolve, and I found out it was some weird thing. You had to hold the DS upside down.
Yeah, and so that was off the podcast.
I was like almost level 30 on some of my guys, and man, that apple is still not evolving. And I was like, there's probably something weird with this. So I texted you like, please tell me if any of these guys need something special. And sure enough, there's like an item I have to get, which I don't have yet. So,
oh, you still haven't found it?
I haven't played since that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's because what I have been playing, besides Pokemon, that was mostly all on Sunday and a little bit on Monday. But on Tuesday, I woke up to find that the game Boneworks had released. And I have been talking to you about this all week because I've been loving it. What do you know about Boneworks?
Absolutely nothing besides what you told me about it, where it's like a physics-based VR game.
Yeah, so it's a VR exclusive game. I've had it on my wish list for a while. This was my naughty moment of not being very patient. I bought the game.
I don't like it being called a naughty moment.
Okay, that's fair. There's some phrasing adjustment we could do.
Well, we'll work on that, or we'll keep it. Maybe it'll grow on us. Anyways, so you bought a $60 game. You fiend.
No, it's actually only 40, 30.
Oh shoot! Is it even a game at that point?
We literally buy. That's our whole thing, is we don't buy things. All right, this is, you bought a $20. I'm mad now. I'm gonna stop talking. All right.
Oh okay.
So, I'm not actually mad. My brain was just short circuiting trying to handle your shenanigans. So I had put up my wish list after seeing a trailer for it. And I have a game that treats you similarly in VR called Blade and Sorcery that I really like, that's in early access. It's not out yet. It's not really a full game, kind of just an arena where you can play around. And once they add a game to the cool engine, that'll be fun. But I've played a bunch of that game, so this one piqued my interest because it's very similar in the sense where they physically simulate your body. In most VR games, you move around and you'll see your hands moving and things like that. But because in the real world, if you move your hand, nothing's going to stop it. In the game, if your hand brushes up against a wall or an item or something, you'll just kind of phase through it. And that works. There's also, most games will use some sort of like teleport movement so that you don't feel sick. But these games, Blade and Sorcery and Boneworks, have both taken kind of the expert VR user experience in mind. So they're considering that you already know what you're doing and you're not going to get motion sick because you've been doing VR a lot. And so there's no teleport. You like push the stick to move your character around and you turn with the other stick. And on top of that, your entire body is physically simulated, including your own character's strength. So if you go and you grab like a small object and lift it, it just lifts like you're lifting up your hand, right? If you lift a heavy object, though, if you grab and move your hand into the real world, in the game, your character will try to follow your real hand, but it will move much slower because it's straining. It's using effort to pick up a heavy object, mm-hmm. right?
That sounds really discombobulating.
It works really well. It makes you feel like you're lifting something heavy. And like if you use two hands, you know, it moves easier because your character is exerting more strength. Mm-hmm. So like in the Blade and Sorcery game, if I walk up to a big two-handed sword, I have to grab it with both hands or else it's too heavy for me to really like lift and swing efficiently. I can't swing it fast enough to actually hit someone with it. So I have to use two hands. And I think it works really well. Well, Boneworks took that and went a step further. So they fully simulate your body, including you can either do a real crouch where you crouch down, but you also have a simulated crouch where you push your right stick down and your character will crouch in the game and your view will drop even if your body doesn't, which is a little weird, but I'm used to it by now. On top of that, you can push and pull like every object in the game. It has a weight. You can grab items. They have weight. Move them around. Swing around. And they also have weapons. They have guns in this game. It's like a modern game. And it's very, very Half-Life, intentionally so. But you can tell, like, the pacing of the game is, you know, very intense physics puzzles followed by fast action, followed by a quiet moment, followed by a puzzle, followed by more fast action. It's that kind of game. And you're going through dilapidated office buildings and city streets and sewers and stuff like that. So very much Half-Life, but you've got hyper-realistic guns, right? So you have to load the magazines and load each bullet and keep your magazines on your belt. And you have, like, slots under your arms for pistols and you have slots on your back.
Really does rifles. Sound like a Daniel game, like, to the max.
It's so fun.
And you had been following it for a while now already?
Well, I had seen a trailer a few months ago, and I had put it on my wish list, and so Steam would be like notifying me of updates to it because it was on my wish list. And then I got notified when it came out because it was on my wish list as
gotcha.
Well. And the movement is just walking around and jumping and things like that, but you do a lot of climbing, and so most surfaces in the game have grabbable surfaces, and so you can like, you know, use your left and right hands to grab and climb up almost anything, and it leads to a lot of really wacky things where you can kind of, you know, bypass a puzzle or like get around an enemy by climbing up a pipe or let me give you, this is one of the most surreal moments I've had in VR that I was had playing this game. So I had just exited the tutorial and I was in the first level, and the first level starts off and there's like a big locker in front of you with a big metal box and a door you're supposed to go through. And just for fun, I ran up to the locker and I made my character jump, and then I put my hands on top of the locker and my character was holding themselves there, and I was able to very carefully use my hands to push my character up like I was doing a pull-up on the locker. And then I had to use the right stick to pull my knees up like I was climbing on the locker. And it worked. I actually was able to successfully just like go up and climb a stationary object. Not because I, you know, hit a button to do a climbing animation, but because I physically used my body to climb up onto it. And then I was on that locker and I jumped to a nearby box. And the box is just a normal like metal crate from a video game sitting in a corner. And I'm standing on top of it. And it's a rectangle. It's taller than it is long. So it's kind of the top heavy, like it could be toppled over easily. And I'm standing on top of it. Well, I didn't even touch the box. I'm just standing on it, but I pushed my hands against the wall. And just like in the real world, if I'm standing on this box and I push against the wall, the box actually toppled over underneath me.
Whoa.
Like the force of my hand against the wall was traveled through my character's body, through my feet into the box, and actually knocked it over using inertia.
Good gracious. I'm sure that was a very... Was that also like super confusing as it happened? Because that was in VR?
No, it felt crazy natural because it felt like, okay, if I was on a box that was top heavy and I pushed against the wall, the box would fall over. It felt totally normal. It was the coolest thing.
Whoa.
I giggled and I showed Marion. I was like, Marion, watch this. And I like pushed the box over with my arms. I was like, that's so cool.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, you have to ask her when you see her next, but I was just giggling and laughing like the whole time I played that game of all the cool stuff. The main menu, I spent about 10 minutes in the main menu before I started the game just climbing around, because the main menu is a room. And I was like climbing up into the rafters and swinging around, and it's so fun. So
interesting. Okay, well, that came out on Steam. Is it only on Steam, or is it on Oculus, or do you know?
I only know of it on Steam. I don't think it's on Oculus.
Okay.
Some interesting news about it, though. So it's funny because it's so much like a Half-Life game. Apparently, this is all something I've heard from multiple places, but through like internet comments. So I haven't seen like a news report about this or anything. But basically, oh, you know, I did see an article about this. So I don't know how. I wish I'd get the link to know how trustworthy it is. But what I'm saying is, I believe this is true. The developers of this game called Stress Level Zero at one point got to tour Valve with it, and they showed it to Valve. And apparently the VR developers at Valve that were currently working on what was called Half-Life VR or HLVR, which is now Half-Life Alyx, which they just announced a few weeks ago, the developers of that game actually liked Boneworks so much that they changed their own development to add a bunch of the movement and physics features from Boneworks. And that if you watch the Half-Life Alyx trailer, it's very similar to Boneworks in terms of how, like, you know, they're reaching around grabbing ammo and like how the actual character's body is interacting with the world. And the unofficial news report from some guy who's like, it's the same guy who leaked Half-Life Alyx before it came out.
Mm-hmm.
That same guy released an article that was like, oh, by the way, Boneworks actually heavily influenced Half-Life Alyx in the way they developed. He was saying that apparently when the Vive came out and they made the Lab and they made their other VR games, that they held to the philosophy of you never move the player. So always teleports, you're never allowed to move around, you're never allowed to move their camera view. But since that time, they've kind of become more loose about that rule. And seeing Boneworks, they completely scrapped it and they were like, okay, this is actually way more immersive and way cooler than what we were trying to do. So...
And way more sickening.
It's every time you boot the game, it's like warning for expert VR users. Like,
nice. I probably couldn't withstand it, then.
You know what's weird? I haven't done this yet. I've only played standing, but they suggest playing seated.
What the heck?
Yeah.
So you don't, like, fall over physically, I guess?
I guess. Well, and there's a virtual crouch, right? Like, you don't need to physically crouch, and I guess, I mean, it's
okay,
tiring
that makes
to
sense.
Stand up for
yeah.
an hour and a half.
So they just wanted to be a normal video game. I wonder if Alex would be played sitting down, recommended.
I don't know. All I know is playing this game, one, I've never really played through a Half-Life game. I played a lot of Half-Life 1, probably like 8 or 9 hours, and then I played, I don't know, an hour or two of Half-Life 2. And not really my things, but this is very similar, and I'm really liking it, so it's making me excited for Half-Life Alyx. And hearing that they've made some design decisions based on this game gets me even more excited. I'm so pumped. Boneworks is great. If you have a chance to try it out, definitely do it. You can play it through my Steam library, right?
I can, yeah. So you're talking about it, and I'm like, I'll give it a shot. You said at least the main menu is fun. So maybe I'll just play the main menu to see if I can make it.
I would say I spent about an hour and a half in the tutorial level called the Museum, and that alone would have been a fantastic VR, like, not a game. It's more like an experience.
Experience, right.
In the Museum, there's no combat, and there's no enemies, but it just, each room is like a new concept of, like, here's how you run, here's how you turn, here's how you jump, here's how running on uneven surfaces makes it harder to jump, and here's how you sprint. And they have like a gymnastics course where you have to like run up a warp wall and grab the top and pull yourself up and hold onto a rope as it's moving. And then they have like a whole weapons room where you get to learn how to load guns. And I've shot actual guns before. I've done like not firearms training per se, but just like accuracy shooting and stuff like that. So I know how to load a gun and make sure there's a bullet in the chamber for handguns and for rifles and stuff, but you have to do all of that stuff. So even just playing through the Museum before you get to that first level is a must have, in my opinion. Like you've got to at least try it. It's so fun.
Yeah, I think I'll do that. And so that is what's it called? Bone something?
Boneworks.
Boneworks. That is $30 on Steam. Go check it out today if you have a VR headset.
Yeah. Here's the one, my one complaint about Boneworks.
Oh, shoot.
Literally.
Oh, shoot. He has a complaint.
It's a big complaint.
It's a big complaint.
The worst saves and checkpointing, that there's only checkpoints at the beginning of each level. So if you die, you start the level. Now, if you die, the state of the level remains the same, right? So if you like lowered a bridge or you have a weapon, you still have that. But you have to walk all the way back to where you died. And
that's goofy.
Well, you know what? That may not actually be true, because I died at a point where I had just kind of looped back around towards the beginning of the level. But what's worse, this is the bigger problem, is that if you quit out, there's no way to return to your last checkpoint. You can only start a level over again. And the levels have all taken me at least an hour each.
Whoa, geez. So you got to be committed to play this game.
Yeah, so for example, we were a little late to start recording today because I was busy this morning out of the house, and I really wanted to try playing Boneworks on the Oculus Quest using Link, because so far I'd only played it on the Rift. So before we came in here, I wanted to try it out on the other headset, and I sat down and started playing a level, and I was like, I've got, you know, 30, 40 minutes. I can probably crank out a level before we record. And I ended up being like 20 minutes late to recording because I just couldn't finish
30,
the level.
Actually.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Just to emphasize my point, it took me a long time to beat that level. And I don't know. That it's fun. I enjoyed playing it, every minute of it. Like, I don't want it to be shorter. I just wish there was a way to quit out and just come back halfway through.
Where they do, like, the Nintendo method, where you just have, like, a little red balloon that keeps your place at least one time.
Oh, yeah. Like a quick save kind of thing?
It's like a one-time save, where you only save to get back to that point. It's like suspending the game, really. So when you come back to it, it's not actually saved. You're just back to where you started without having to leave the game running.
I think the first game I ever played that had that was Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. It had like...
Really?
You could only do a hard save outside of a dungeon, but if you were in a dungeon, you could do like a checkpointy quick save, and then as soon as you joined back in, it deleted that quick save so that you couldn't save scum.
Nice, yeah. That seems like a good game to have that on.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Mario Brothers...
Which is like a level's like 3 minutes, so why would you?
Yeah, you'd have to beat like five or six levels in a row to get to a save point. It's like, just let me save, for crying out loud. And then you beat the game, and then you unlock the ability to save wherever you want.
Ah, okay. They want to reward you with the ability to save so you can quit the game that you just beat.
I guess so.
Should I, while we're on the topic of VR, should I talk about the different headsets playing Boneworks?
The different headsets?
Yeah, like Rift versus Quest.
Oh, have you tried it on both of yours?
Yeah, that's what I said before. I only played the Rift for reasons I'll get into in a second. When the game came out, I was only able to play it on the Rift that night. And then before we started recording, I was like, I want to go play Boneworks on the Quest to make sure it works, because that then I can talk about it. Mm-hmm. That's the whole reason that I wanted to delay recording.
To make sure it Boneworks.
Exactly.
Well, did it Bonework?
It did. Well, okay, there's some big...
It bone did.
Nice work, Bone Daddy. So... So, big Oculus news in general. On Tuesday, not only did Boneworks release, which has nothing to do with Oculus, it's a Steam game, but Oculus Quest got a surprise drop of a little update. Did you see this?
No.
So, they announced upcoming software during Oculus Connect. When they announced the link, they also announced another new feature that was supposed to be 2020. Well, they randomly, out of the blue, dropped it early.
Nice. That's awesome.
And now the Oculus Quest has built-in hand tracking.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't need controllers.
I'm sorry, what?
You can put the controllers down and it just sees your hands and it puts them in VR. It's the coolest thing ever.
But excuse me, do I get this on mine?
No, it's just the Quest.
Well, screw you.
Well, here's why. I looked this up because someone else on Reddit was like, yeah, why can't the S do it? It's because it's not using the processing of the computer. The only reason they were able to do it is because there's a CPU and GPU in the headset, and there's a third chip that helps with the video recording. And one of those, I think it's the third chip, that recording chip, they found that it was actually idle most of the time. There was power in there that they could use for something else. And so they applied it to this, but it... a headset that was processing on the computer wouldn't be able to do that because it doesn't have this like extra power. It's using its full power, basically.
Oh, well, I don't care about logistics. I want hand tracking too.
I want the magic to work for me.
I want the magic virtual world. Dude, that's a huge like game changer.
Yeah, well, and no one was ready for it because they released it early, so literally no applications use it. You can only use it in the main menu right now, but supposedly this upcoming week they're going to release the SDK. So I am so excited for them. Like, even something stupid like Big Screen or VR Chat, like, you can just put your controllers down, have your hands, and have you ever played... You've only played Big Screen with me, right? You don't go online with other people?
Right, yeah.
So when the original Oculus Rift came out, they had the Magic Leap system, which was a third-party device not meant for only Oculus. It has a lot of uses, but you can use it with the Oculus where it sits underneath your screen or above your screen, and it monitors your hands. It's like a hand tracking externally. And I've played Big Screen with people that use that, so I can see their avatar in Big Screen like they see me, but instead of having just like your Oculus hands or just your kind of static hands that have like fingers out, fingers in, thumb up, thumb down. They had their full hand. Every finger was tracked. You could see all of the motions they were making.
Nice.
And they just have that on Oculus Quest now, just built in.
Wow. That is crazy.
Incredible. Yeah, and like you can point at things and like make touch your pointer and your thumb finger together to select something or drag it to scroll. If you want to open up or close the menu, you like flip your palm upward and make the same motion where you touch your thumb and pointer. It's super cool. Well, here's another dumb thing though. Oculus rolls out its updates slowly, so not everyone gets them at once. They roll it out by serial number, so certain headsets with certain serial numbers get it first, and it takes like a couple days to get the update.
What on earth?
But here's another problem. The PC client updates immediately. And if your PC client and your headset version numbers don't sync, you can't use the Oculus Link.
That seems like a oversight.
Yeah. So I was like, I worked all day on Tuesday. Boneworks came out. I was seeing reviews. People were like, yeah, it's actually as cool as it seems. And I was getting really pumped up. And I got home and I downloaded it. And we me and Marianne had like a stream to watch, a church stream thing. So we did that. We ate dinner. We cleaned up. And I was like, I've got like 2 hours. All I want to do is go upstairs and just play Boneworks. And I go upstairs. I plug in my Quest. And I had seen some Reddit posts about the finger tracking. So I was like, I'll try this thing out. And my headset didn't have an update. It was like, there's no update to install.
Oh, no.
But the PC had an update. I was like, sure, like, perform update. And I performed the update. And it was like, great, finished. And then I plug in the link and it's like, your headset's out of date. I can't connect.
I was so like, you do have the option to not update the PC client. You just need to know to not do it?
Well, you'd probably, there is an auto update setting, which I have turned on. So I think it was just because my computer had been off that
geez,
it didn't update.
Yikes.
So if my computer had been on and I have that setting turned on, which I do, there's a chance that they would just update my client and just break compatibility with the Quest.
That's goofy.
It's super goofy, but at the end of the day, I still have the Rift headset, so I was able to play Tuesday night on the Rift on Boneworks all night. It was great. The Rift is super light compared to the Quest. It's crazy. It's a little scratchier because mine's so old and I've played like Beat Saber so much in it that the foam is all worn out.
Right. The memories are there along with you.
Exactly. motion tracking and everything was great in there. But I hadn't played in the Quest until today because I've been really busy the rest of the week. And before I came on the podcast, I wanted to try on the Quest so I could talk about it more. And I threw on the Quest and I can honestly say I didn't notice a difference. Like,
wow.
In a good way. Like, yeah. I did notice the resolution difference. It looked clearer, but while I was playing Boneworks, as far as tracking goes, as far as, you know, was there latency or screen tearing? I couldn't tell you. I didn't see anything like that.
So it's sounding like your choice to get the Quest was a good one as opposed to the S.
All thanks to the custom head strap I got. Before that, it was unbearable. It was like 20,
really?
30 minutes. Yeah.
Oh,
20 or 30 minutes in, it would hurt my face too bad where I was uncomfortable. I didn't want to keep playing. Like, it's very heavy, and it's not very comfortable without the head strap. Additionally, the cord that goes to the computer, normally it just hangs down in front of your hand, and it makes doing anything with your hands impossible because you're just smacking this cord. Mm-hmm. But I have plugged it into the front of the headset and then snaked it around through the two custom straps I have out the back, and it just comes out the back of the headset like the Rift does. So
nice.
In my head, if you get the Quest, I should look up the name of this company. There's a New Zealand company that makes a head strap and a counterweight that is you can buy them both together for $40. And in my head, that's almost a necessity to play the Quest using the computer because it makes it so much more comfortable and it takes care of the cord for you.
So are you going to be able to bring it when you visit?
Heck yeah.
Next week?
Heck yes.
Is it next week?
Two weeks.
Sweet. So you can, I can try the Quest and you can try the S finally.
Yes. I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Oh dear. We'll both just be playing Oculus in my room and Marion can just sit and watch us.
So it's called a Studio Form Creative is the name of the company that I purchased the strap from. They're a New Zealand company.
There you go. Thanks, New Zealand.
Shall we put VR in the vault?
It's VR vault time. That was a long VR discussion. I was going to mention so budget cuts onwards. Too, real quick. I guess I can do that. Did you know that's a thing?
I didn't. I bought budget cut one and have yet to launch it.
Oh, I thought you were a big fan of the first one. Okay, maybe I forgot.
I played the demo and was super excited and was like super pumped up to play it. And then I bought it and I also bought it Fallout 4 VR at the same time. And I played Fallout instead of playing budget cuts. I never went back to it.
Okay.
I still have it though.
Okay. Well,
I still want to play
there's
it.
There's a sequel now that came out. So,
oh, this isn't like an announcement. It's out.
It's out. Yeah, it's out on Steam.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like top four in top selling right now.
Jeez. Okay.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of VR to play.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think it wasn't full price. I think it was $30 also. Shoot.
Okay.
Oh, Boneworks. Boneworks is top five.
Yeah, Boneworks was top one the day it came out. It's been selling on Steam.
Are buying that mug. Very nice.
It's so good.
Oh, it's new and trending. Yeah, it's only $30. $30 for budget cuts too.
Okay.
Very cool.
There's
something else on the top selling. I don't know if you saw it. It's called what?
Is it Halo?
No.
Oh, really?
It's GTFO.
Oh, Halo is number one on the top selling, sir.
No, I'm not talking about top. On the top selling list, not top selling.
What?
There's a list of top-selling games.
Yeah.
It's on this list.
Okay.
It's called GTFO.
Okay.
Have you heard about it?
I know it is a four-player co-op game in the vein of Payday or Left 4 Dead, but that it is extremely difficult. You have to be very coordinated, and they suggest you like actively are talking with your friends, not playing it with strangers.
All right. Well, now that we have that covered, I'll just mark that off the list. On to the next subject.
Have you played it?
No.
Oh.
Are you not interested in that? Does that not sound amazing to you?
That sounds super fun. I'm going to add it to my wish list while we're talking right now.
It's a co-op horror. It calls it a horror shooter. Action horror co-op. That's really hard. And so you're trying to... I don't know if you're trying to get to the end. Like Left 4 Dead. Or trying to do an objective.
I have heard from someone who played it at E3 that at one point they were asked to hack a terminal and they needed somebody in another room to read them the instructions for hacking the terminal. And then when they hit the button on the terminal, it pulled up an actual command prompt and they had to enter actual commands to hack a terminal while they were being shot at.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That sounds like my game so much. It sounds like a game I'd like.
This is a The Boys game. We need a fourth The Boys.
Who is Jimmy and Kyle are The Boys?
Yeah.
Okay.
The only reason I excluded Marion is because she's a female, you know. So
right.
So we could have The Boys and Marion. Also, Marion could be a The Boy.
Also, the idea of her trying to like hack a terminal with live computer commands while we're all yelling at her and she's being shot at does not sound like a Marion game.
I think you convinced me. I think I want to see that now. So Du Bois and Marion. Marion can have all the console command roles. So we'll be shooting and we'll be like,
she has to do all the technical hacking.
Yes. She'll end up learning like multiple programming languages from playing this game.
I don't think it's anywhere that in depth, but
oh man. So yeah, this looks so cool, and it came out this last Monday.
Okay.
In early access. It's like $35. So I put that on my wish list and I'll probably wait for, I guess, more reviews, maybe for it to come out in full release, but it looks super cool and I really want to try that sometime.
I mean, I've got so much going on. I'm happy to let it sit on the wish list until it hits a sale. Yeah,
same.
To be a, you know, patient player, but
heck yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Budget Cuts 2, Mission Insolvency right there. Okay. Interesting. Wow, there's so much cool stuff going on with games. Honestly, though, can I talk about why I'm hesitant to, like, buy anything right now?
Yeah.
The game I've been playing the most outside of VR is a game I've been playing on Xbox Game Pass called Halo.
Oh, I've never heard of this.
Yeah, it's a very popular shooter, you know, back in the old days. Some old folks used to play Halo.
I see,
Back at the dawn of video games. I've been playing Halo Reach on Master Chief Collection on PC, and it's been really fun.
Wow, I did not realize you've been playing that much Halo.
Yeah, I think the only three games I can remember playing this week were Pokemon, all these VR games, and Halo. So that's kind of been my week.
Very cool.
Does the Xbox app keep track of your hours?
Probably not.
You don't think so?
I wouldn't think so. Why would they add such a useful feature?
Why are you so down on this?
I mean, it's in beta.
Oh,
Xbox for PC, yeah. Like, on the Xbox platform, then probably, or definitely. But I'm assuming the PC one doesn't, that, you know, it's like, let's add features. Oh, the first feature we should add is hour tracking.
That's true. There's probably some more important things to do.
Probably. It still crashes a lot, like on my system when I try to just download something or boot something, and so it's definitely still a beta for me at least.
Oh no, I'm looking for my hours played, and I accidentally scrolled to the reviews, and there's
of
only
Halo?
One of Halo Master Chief Collection, and there's only one review, and it says, "Let us play what we want." I had the Master Chief Collection on the Xbox, and I was able to play any campaign. Now I have to play through my least favorite campaign before I can access any of the rest. 1 star.
Oh, but they're just not released yet, right?
They don't exist for PC yet.
So he's going to get through the first one.
I wish I could give it less than one star.
Oh, no. Oh, my
Poor
gosh.
Guy.
Less than one star in communication, maybe, because I didn't know that either.
I'm super surprised there's only one review for Halo the Master Chief Collection on the Xbox app. It's been top selling on Steam for like a week, so I guess everyone's just getting it on Steam.
But you could I see more than one review. The Master Chief Collection, Halo. Unplayable for multiplayer. Season point system is slightly broken. Works fine, unfortunately. Sorry for others. I'm seeing multiple reviews.
Is that on Steam or on Xbox?
Xbox.
I literally clicked show all, and it's still just showing me one.
Weird. Yeah, the average rating is only 2.8.
Well, so for me, it says there's 27 reviews with an average rating of 3, but I click on show all reviews, and it's only showing me one-star review.
Wow, this is really confusing.
What the heck?
There, I clicked on show all, and now it brought me to the achievements. What?
All right. It says it's time to install an update, so I'm just going to let that update and keep podcasting.
Okay, Master Chief Collection. It's a thing. Da-dun-dun.
Yeah, I did get charged yesterday for my second month of Game Pass, and I'm very happy about it. I'm not disappointed in my Game Pass experience at all. So, still suggesting that out there for anyone who's playing PC.
Ori and the Will of the Wisps is on Game Pass.
Oh, even more reason. I'm
exactly.
So happy with Game Pass.
Oh, sorry, pre-install. Still. Oh, March 11th.
Ouch.
They have that on the main screen under recently added, but then you click on it and it says, you can play this March 11th, 2020.
Still, I mean, think about this. What's that game going to be? $20, you think? $30?
25. Let's go
Let's go 25. 30. All right, if you paid $5 a month starting today in December and then in January and then February and then in March, that's still less than the full price of that game, and you'll get to play it.
That's funny. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, it's
and also all these other great games.
Yeah, the Master Chief Collection, strictly because it's so many games that I may want to go back at any point in my life and play, because Halo is such a classic part of gaming. That's the only game so far that I want to buy outside of Game Pass, and so I have it on my wish list for Steam for
nice.
Christmas.
But I have Subnautica.
Yeah.
Subnautica on Game Pass. Everyone, if you're listening, get Game Pass for the low price of $5, but with an introductory price of $1 a month, so you can play Subnautica.
It's so good.
It's amazing.
Do they have the Ice DLC?
No.
Oh, okay. They have Subnautica, though.
They do. No Iceborne.
You know what, though? So I did pay $5 for Game Pass. You know what I did not pay money for this month?
Humble Bundle?
Yeah, the Humble Choice.
Humble Choice. You canceled that, like, what, 50 minutes ago or like an hour ago?
Well, so we had talked about it last week and you had paused it. And I was like, I'm not sure. And then as we sat down to record, I'm like, I'm going to pause it. So I did not cancel. I paused it. And hopefully they'll have better games next month. I've really liked some of the months this last year, but this month was a little weak.
Yeah, it was weird, especially for the kickoff of the whole thing in the first place. You'd think they'd want a really strong like library of games, so a lot of people will jump on the bandwagon and start paying.
Yeah, but two big games and four little games is a lot harder to get than 10 games every time, 11 games every time.
Yeah, but even just making the first month amazing and then the second month like below average makes more sense to me from a business standpoint.
I guess so. Well, and here's what's on my mind right now. I'm thinking through, like, there are games that if they popped up on Humble Monthly, I'd be like, this is dumb, I'm never going to play it. Like, honestly, Magicite and Roguelands, that's probably how I would view it. But thinking back on how those are some of my favorite games, it's making me think of all of these games that pop up. I'm like, you know what? This doesn't look amazing, but what if it's super fun?
That's a good point.
And I kind of want to get them and try them all, but then I remember, well, you know, I maybe play like 10 hours a week, and if I want to play VR and Overwatch and all these Pokemon games and all that stuff, then I should probably not download a bunch of new games in just the hopes that they might be good, because they're probably going to be mediocre.
Right. Yeah. Just play Pokemon, honestly.
Just play Pokemon.
Man. I don't want to get back into Pokemon, but I do want to get back into Pokemon.
Why don't you just wait for me to get caught up and then we can play together? We can go.
No, I mean, like,
battles.
Talking about it on right now.
Oh, okay.
Because
just go for it.
I'll just do it real quick. So you know how you're like, oh, Pokemon's easy, boo-hoo, I want a challenge.
Yeah.
Was you bought Pokemon Sun, right? Or did you get Moon?
I had Moon, Marion had Sun.
Was it easy?
I remember turning off the XP share for most of that game and finding that was way more fun.
Okay. Holy crap. Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon are the hardest Pokemon games I have ever played.
Really?
Yes. Like, even with EXP share turned on, okay, I was, like, constantly underleveled or, like, at the same level.
Yeah.
Or even, there was one time I was, like, 40 levels above someone, and he two-shot me.
Ouch.
With a super effective move. And I'm like, oh, but excuse me, I'm supposed to just be winning automatically by being 40 levels above this guy. Or, like, one of the final bosses one-shot my entire team.
Ouch.
Two times in a row. And I was like, shoot, this game is freaking difficult. Like, I have had to crank up the Pokemon mindset like never before playing through this game. So I was like, man, maybe Daniel shouldn't have gotten Moon. Maybe he should have gotten Ultra Moon. Because maybe Moon was like too easy. And so they're like, hey, maybe people are like, they said it was too easy, so we need to crank up the difficulty for the second one. But they did something. Compared to like Sword and Shield, it is freaking brutal sometimes.
I don't know. I don't want to sit around and wait for their weird, like, buy the whole game again to get 10% additional content. Like,
right.
I almost, when I was on the fence so much about Sword and Shield, part of me in the back of my head was like, why don't you just wait for a Super Sword or Super Shield or whatever they're going to call it.
Pokemon Gun.
Well, I sat and thought about it. I don't think they've done a singular third version since Platinum. Because they had Diamond, Pearl, Platinum, and then they had Black and White, and they did Black and White 2.
Right,
and those were literal sequels. And then they did X and Y, and they never did Z. They just did the Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire. And there was...
Yeah, and they didn't even do, like, Super Emerald or something. That would have been so good.
Yeah, well, so after Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, they had the Delta episode, which was kind of like Emerald built into those games.
Oh, I see.
And then I guess the Sun and Moon, and they had Ultra Sun and Moon. It's almost like they realized, hey, if we make more money by selling two versions of a game the first time, when we re-release them, why don't we just sell two versions again?
Yeah. Man, I loved the third version thing. But I guess I hope they don't make like a Super Sword, a Super Shield, or Great Sword, Great Shield.
They're going to. You know, that's literally... Or they're going to make a two, or they're going to... I mean... I hope they do this in addition, but I'm also assuming that we're going to see a Diamond and Pearl remake, which will be the best thing that's ever happened in Pokemon.
Pog.
If it's anywhere as good as the Ruby and Sapphire remakes were, then those might become my favorite games of the Pokemon series.
I loved Diamond and Pearl. That would be such a freaking flashback.
Yeah, Diamond was my game, like my game 100%, and then Marion also, that was her first foray into Pokemon, and so she's super excited for the potential Gen 4 remakes.
Nice. I actually bought Platinum like a few weeks ago, just on eBay, just like a used copy, because I was like, I never played this one, so like it's hard to transfer them out of it, so I'm like, this is literally just for me playing like for the story, because I heard the Platinum story is super good, and also like nostalgic, so I booted it up this week and I just played for like 20 minutes, but the 20 minutes I played, I was like, oh my word, this feels so awesome to be playing with like the sprites and everything again, and the animations are so fast, and I'm like, why is I miss the fast animations?
You can turn the animations off. That's what I did in X and Y. About
even with off animations through, they're still faster.
Man, I played through White, and I really really liked that game, and I heard someone say recently that the only game that actually have a literal hard mode, like you could go into the options and change the challenging, was Black and White 2, and that was the first Pokemon game I skipped. I played every Pokemon game from Red and Blue. I played Blue, I played Yellow, I played Silver, I played a little bit of Crystal because my sister had it, I played Sapphire, I played Fire Red, I played the heck out of Diamond, and I played White, and then White and Black 2 were the first ones I skipped. Turns out those probably would have been my favorite, because apparently you can turn the challenge rating up and it becomes extremely hard and extremely fun. and there's just a ton of post-game content in that one.
Interesting. Like, yeah, I'm looking at it. There's easy mode, normal mode, and challenge mode.
And they went to, when they went to X and Y, that's also one of my favorite Pokemon games. X and Y was a really, really good leap, but apparently they cut out like a huge part of the in-game stuff that I never got to experience because I didn't have Black and White 2.
But they took out the difficulty changing?
Yeah, that's the only Pokemon game that's had it.
Why would they do that? That seems like such an easy thing to add.
You'd think, right? You'd think, but apparently not. I don't know.
Huh.
Nintendo's ways are not our ways, right?
Yeah, or I guess Game Freak's ways.
True.
Oh, well. Okay, I'll put Pokemon back in the vault now. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, the vault is getting full of virtual reality and Pokemon. We better be careful or else it's going to be something...
Hi, welcome to Patient Virtual Reality Pokemon players.
Now you just want Pokemon in VR.
Oh, yes.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Just picture yourself tossing the Pokeball, but instead of the
Pokeball Plus. Stop. I can't do this. Okay, guess what else was announced this week?
What else was announced this week?
Freaking Back from the Dead. It's the game itself. Are you ready for this? I hope that you don't know about this.
Oh, I know what's coming. I know what's about to come.
Did you see it, or did you see my hidden note?
I did not see your hidden note. Okay. I think I might have heard of it. Otherwise, I know the only game from this developer that you would ever sound this way about.
Well, it's not Tales from the Borderlands 2.
Oh, then I am genuinely surprised. What are we talking about?
It is The Wolf Among Us 2.
Oh.
That
explains why The Wolf Among Us is a free game on Epic right now.
It is. What a great segue. So on Epic, you can get The Escapist, as we mentioned last week. And midweek this week, they said, surprise, The Wolf Among Us is also free this week to celebrate the announcement of Wolf Among Us 2.
Okay.
Which, A Wolf Among Us is amazing.
Okay.
Have you played it? I'm starting to assume you have not.
No, I have played...
Well, frick.
The first three episodes of the Walking Dead Season 1 Telltale game, and that is the only Telltale game I've ever played.
All right. Well, so for those who don't... I mean, I'm assuming everyone knows what Telltale games are. It's like a story you play through, and you're going to make choices that... Minusculely?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
That very tinily changed the story.
Sure.
And Wolf Among Us is it's like a dark fantasy mystery.
Oh, I've heard about it. I know it's adapted off of a comic book from...
I know you do. I'm explaining it to the audience.
Oh, okay.
You dummy. Yeah, so it's based off of... Is it a comic book series? Like the Fables comic book series?
Yeah.
So okay,
it takes the Aesop's Fables.
Yeah, it's where it's like fantasy characters just like in the real world dealing with real world stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Real world issues.
You got prostitution, you got corrupt governments, you got people not being able to afford their bills.
Mary had a little lamb.
Mary had a little lamb and she had to butcher it to sell its meat off because she couldn't afford to pay the man. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of content you can expect to find in The Wolf Among Us, the first one. And it is phenomenal.
Is Mary and or her little lamb part of the Aesop's Fable? I don't think.
No,
I think
they're
that's
not.
a different cinematic universe.
It's the kind of content you can expect to find. So you play as the big bad wolf who is the sheriff and he has to solve a mystery. And it's wonderful and very, very dark and very adult game, so don't 18 and plus ages up, but
so go watch Hazbin Hotel, the very adult cartoon, and then go and
then get Wolf Among Us on for free on Epic Games and eagerly await the release of the sequel. And again, this game came out in 2013, so the fact that they're announcing a sequel 6 years later after the company shut down and then got brought back to life was just out of nowhere. So I was so excited.
I was about to clarify. It's not just that the game is 6 years old. It's that the developer literally is gone and then came back.
Yep. They got revived by two guys that bought the company.
Nice.
So, yeah, really excited for that. That gives me hope for Tales from the Borderlands Season 2. Oh, boy, does it. But, yeah, that's something that got announced this week, and it's really exciting.
I assume if you want me to play any Telltale game, it's going to be Tales from the Borderlands first,
though. Oh, yes.
Though.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, with my, like, 45-minute VR rant, we're a little long in the tooth. Do you want to jump into our emails?
Yeah. It's your turn for email week, so...
It's my turn.
While you do that, I'm going to turn on my fan because my back is literally stuck to my chair.
What?
I'm so hot. Oh, gosh dang.
Okay, here is a question, Jordan. Can you still hear me while you're turning on your fan?
Okay, so what emails do we got?
Okay, we have technically we have two emails, but I feel at this very moment it is relevant to read you the subject of both before I read the content of either one.
Okay, let's do it.
The first email is called A Brief Follow-Up and appears to be where you think it's probably from.
Okay.
That's what I'm guessing. Yes.
Okay.
The second email is called A Brief Follow-Up, But I Fixed One of My Sentences. So the question is, which one do we read?
Hold on. What email account is this again?
Oh, okay. Well, you see, the email that I like to go to read my emails is patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com.
Okay. See, I also like to email and read emails at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. And if you're listening, you too can email that and we'll read your emails on the air or whatever, on the ground, I don't know. And you can be part of the Patient Players experience.
Hey,
so if you're new, we have a very special emailer named Kay who is currently stuck in the void somewhere.
He's sending us live updates. It's been very helpful.
Yeah, he's really been consistent with sending us updates, and apparently he sent us two emails this week. One with a small
fixed sentence
update, or yeah, I guess. So what you're saying? Should we start with the revised one or the original one? Is that what you're saying?
Before we move further, I want to just give a little shout out to you. That's right. You.
Me?
Listener. Dear listener.
Oh, dang,
hearing these words.
I thought you were shouting at me. I got really excited. Man.
I need
you. Oh, also
you right
my sister.
Now. Also your sister? Oh, right. We'll get to that.
Okay.
But no, this is not about Jordan. It's not about Jordan's sister. It's not about anyone in Jordan's family.
I want it to be about me. Somehow.
Unless you're in Jordan's family. This is a shout out to you, dear patient player.
I'll listen to it later and then I'll be the listener. Okay, continue.
Okay. Okay, just put yourself in that mindset now. We need you to email patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. That means at some point you should write an email, address an email, and then send an email to us at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com, and then we can read the email during the podcast.
Didn't we just discuss this, like, I don't know, 2 minutes ago?
No, this is a personal, though. I'm making it personal.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Dude, you're so smart.
I'm not talking about that other person listening. I'm talking about you right now.
Oh, I see them. Yeah. You right there. Yeah.
Yeah, right there. That person. The
hey,
one that's like looking around like, can they actually see me? I don't.
Yeah,
I,
yeah, yeah. We are looking at you. We are looking you right in the eyes.
Yeah. You that just thought about pointing to yourself but didn't because you realized how silly that would be in a public place or in your car.
Or in the comfort of your home. Yes, you. Email us and feel special.
Okay.
You know, you can't buy your parents' love, but you can buy patient players' love by emailing us.
Yeah, I mean, last time I checked, an email was like pennies to the dollar. Can't beat these prices.
Pennies to the dollar. Okay, we're running out of time. We need to read Kay's email.
My vote is that you only get one chance here at Patient Players, and we read the original.
I like it.
All right, I've deleted the corrected
email.
You
deleted it? What if there's like a huge... Oh, my word. Okay.
One chance. You get one chance, okay?
Gosh, dang.
Per week. That's my rule.
Okay, well, let's see what it says then.
All right. Let me put on my best K voice. Konnichiwa, Patient-kun and Patient-san. How are you both feeling? Wait, my feelings.
Has Kay been Asian the whole time?
What makes you think I'm Asian?
Nothing.
Just because I speak Japanese doesn't mean I'm from Japan.
Well, the accent was a little...
You're right. It's my
implicative.
My flawless... This is my new D&D character. It's a flawless accent. Okay.
Sorry, continue, please.
Konnichiwa, patient-kun and patient-san. How are you both feeling? My feelings are quite mixed at the moment given my current situation. Before I get started, I wanted to apologize for making last week's update a bit too long. I know that your lives are busy, so I decided to update you on my current situation in the most brief way possible. Through 10 short 3-word phrases.
Wait.
Is this a haiku?
Wait, 10 short 3-word. So he's going to say 3 words 10 times.
Correct.
Okay, let's do this.
I'm going to recite this as in the style of a haiku, though it's not the haiku syllables at all.
Okay, let's do this. I'm excited.
Light not home, still in abyss, blood and sand, sun is black, obelisks stand tall.
Oh, there's obelisks now.
Universe is collapsing.
Oh my gosh.
Pyramids eat time. Demons spill forth. End is coming. God is dead.
Oh.
So
this abyss is getting pretty...
So as you can see, though my hardships are not quite over, my situation has greatly improved.
Okay.
You know what hasn't improved, though? The Video Game Award.
What a master of segues.
I waited all week for them in the hopes that there would be some earth-shattering announcements that I could use to formulate into an interesting question for you guys. Unfortunately, however, aside from a few mildly cool reveals, I found the VGAs to be rather drab this year, especially with some of the more exciting stuff, like Half-Life Alyx being pulled out last minute from the show. So many questions for you this week is going to be unrelated. So my questions for you this week is going to be unrelated to last week's. You messed up. You messed up, Kay. You should have fixed that sentence.
Wait. But wait. I'm looking at it now. So my question for you this week is going to be unrelated last week's news. You think he really wrote a second email just to fix that one sentence? You think that's the sentence?
We'll never know because you get one shot here at Vision Player.
Oh, my word.
That question being, what game or games from your childhood would you like to see remade, but most likely won't because they were either too obscure or haven't well? I see several sentences in this email. I highly doubt that there's only one sentence.
Oh, or haven't well?
Yes.
Hmm.
Alright, allow me to continue. Personally, I have a soft spot for the game Frogger 2 and Zapper. Frogger 2 was popular all at the time, even with its own line of McDonald's toys back when they were good. But it really hasn't aged too well, and not very many people seem to be clamoring for the return of that particular gaming mascot. Zapper is a very similar game that was way better developed and has probably aged well, however, it doesn't seem like most people even know that game exists. That's all for now. I will message you again next week when I have resolved the minor issues I described in my update. Loves, kisses, and that third thing. Okay.
The minor issues, including demons spilling forth, pyramids eating time, and God being dead.
I think he can handle it.
It is K we're talking about. He's made it this far on flash drives and orange goo.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Here's what you do. Reboot that laptop. Turn it off. Turn it back on again. And then do the same thing with time and with God, and we'll be fine.
God OS has encountered a crash. Please just hold down the power button.
That sounds like an Easter joke.
Oh, my word. Oh, that nice. I like it. Okay, so what was the question? What games from your childhood would you like to see remade, but most likely won't because they were either too obscure or haven't
well.
Haven't aged well?
I don't want to give him the benefit of that doubt.
So just haven't well.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. No. We can do haven't aged well because I probably have some good answers to this.
Okay. You go ahead and go first then. I'm trying to think of one.
What immediately comes to mind is Metal Arms Glitch in the System, which was a Xbox original and GameCube shooter where you were a robot, and it was really long and it was really good, and it had like a lot of crazy levels. It honestly reminds me a lot of like a fully fledged shooter campaign, like a Halo or something like that. It actually, I don't know if it came out at the same time or a little bit after Halo, but it borrowed a lot of the same ideas of a first person shooter with like even down to like the lowest level enemies were called grunts. Like it was not trying to hide some of its background, but it wasn't exactly the same, right? Like you didn't just have the two weapons you could switch between. You had your full arsenal and you upgraded them. So like if I had a cool saw blade shooting gun called the Ripper in the campaign, I could like upgrade that, and when I picked up different ammo, like throughout the rest of the whole game, it would have that upgrade. So it was really, really, really fun. And honestly, one of the things I liked the most is you could like hijack enemy robots and become them for a short time. And like when they died, you just went back to your body. So it was kind of like having a throwaway body. You had grenades that realigned your enemies to be on your ally's side. It had like a whole race of like ancient robots, and you go underground and find their ruins. And honestly, it was an incredible game, and I played the multiplayer with that with my friends almost as much as Smash Bros. On the GameCube. That's one of my most played GameCube games, and wow, it had really fun arena shooter multiplayer where you like run around and you're like, oh, I know that the rocket launcher spawns here, and there's a jump pad to get up in this pipe over here, and just a fantastic game. I believe something happened with the developer where they no longer exist, or they got absorbed or something. And essentially, the IP rights are somewhere in the ether, because the director of the game, the head developer, has actually mentioned how much he wants to remake it or make a new one, and he just doesn't have the ability to. There's no legal way that he can do that, and that really sucks. But gosh dang, I want a sequel to Metal Arms Glitch in the System. That would be so fun.
Unlucky.
How about you?
So I was thinking, and I was like, I could do the easy cop-out and just say Pokemon, which we kind of already discussed, so I tried to keep thinking. And I thought, and I thought, and I was like, surely there's a game. And then it hit me. Like a baseball flying through the air and landing in my eye socket. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And this is a game that I still, to this day, will periodically check the PlayStation Store to see if they have re-uploaded the PS1 copy of it.
Okay.
So I could buy it because I loved it so much.
Okay. And it is
none other than Bugs Bunny and Taz Time Busters.
Wow.
On the PS1.
That sounds like a very difficult thing to get remade or released on the network store.
That's what I'm saying. Or remade or just relaunched and or remastered, I mean.
All right, just describe this game to me. I have no idea what we're talking about.
It was so good. So you play Bugs Bunny and Taz, hence the name.
Okay.
And it's just like a 3D just adventure game where Daffy Duck screws up time by stealing some time gem, and you have to go through certain
pyramids eat the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And the demons spill forth.
You have to go through some themed. I'm trying to remember. It's been so long. I played this in like what 2003 or two.
Okay.
I don't know. But you go through like themed areas, like a haunted world and like a desert world, you know, like all the obvious worlds.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I loved it so much. And like the way they did two player mode on it is you could have one person just use the second joystick on the one PS1 controller, and they would control like Taz. And so you could both just be walking around on the screen at the same time. So it was kind of multiplayer, but not exactly.
Didn't one of the Mario Parties do that? Wasn't that like Mario Party 7 had like an 8-player mode?
Yeah, those were fun. I didn't have any friends to play with, so I just did those by myself. Yep.
Oh man. Okay. Wow, that's the first one that comes to mind for remakes. Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm Googling again right now. Maybe they finally remastered it, but it does not
look who's, like it.
Who's they? Who owns it? What's the publisher?
Jeez, I have no idea.
Okay.
Behavior Interactive.
Is that the developer or the publisher?
That's the developer.
Who published it? Because they would own the rights to it.
Atari.
Oh, you're, it's not looking good for you, dude.
Yeah, initial release date 2000, so 19 years ago.
Atari's not quite what it used to be.
But, I mean, I could download, like, a ROM of it, but I really would love just a remaster or a relaunch.
Well, you know, the PS3 plays PS1 games if you found, like, an eBay copy.
Does it now?
Yeah. So the original PS3s were backwards compatible for PS1 and PS2, and then the later models, they pulled out backwards compatibility for the two. But they all have backwards compatibility for PlayStation 1 games because that's a software emulation. It's not using hardware emulation.
Interesting.
So if you found a copy, you could throw that in your PS3 and play it.
Oh, man. Can I find a copy? I'm Googling right now.
Google, I want to keep the podcast going until you find out if you can buy this.
eBay.com. Bugs Bunny and Tess. Oh, no. It's not looking good with the search results.
Oh, no.
Oh, here we go.
What are we looking at?
Okay, so like 20 bucks.
There you go. What would you pay if it came out with a remake on Steam today?
Oh, my word. A remake?
Or like the PS1 re-release on Steam today. What would you pay for that?
Oh, okay. There's a big difference between the two.
Yes.
Remake, I would pay up to like 30 bucks.
Okay.
Re-release, maybe like 10 or 15.
Okay.
Okay. So really what they're actually selling for is kind of a middle ground.
Yeah.
Or I can get a brand new one for 70.
Collector's edition.
Heck yeah.
Oh, wow. What a podcast. It's been a lot of VR. Do you think we're going to do a live episode?
Mid-sentence? Okay, that ending sounded so weird. And I was like, is he okay? And then you didn't say anything. And I was like, oh, no. Did he die? Did he finally bite the bullet?
Just mid-podcast, I go out.
Yeah.
And you can't. No one's in the room to stop my recording.
Oh, no. Because Marion's at a photo shoot.
Yeah, there's just 5 hours of me being dead.
Has your dog been trained how to revive dead people?
No, that comes in like year two of owning a dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're not quite there yet.
Wait a second. I can get it on... GameStop has it for $10.
All right. I'll let you figure this one out.
It's in my cart. Oh, my gosh. Why is shipping $6?
Because they got to get it to you. That's not free.
Literally 60% of the cost.
It's $6.
Oh, no. Do I want to pay $17.31 and then also get my PS3 out of storage? I think I do. Are you sure that PS3s can do this?
Yes, I'm positive.
I'm Googling it just to make sure. All PS3s are capable of playing PS1 games, whether they are disc or downloaded from the PSN.
Thank you for joining us on Patient Players, episode 18. I hope everyone here has a fantastic week.
Oh, my gosh.
Merry Christmas.
Check out. Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas to you all, and to all a great night.
Good night.
Smooches.